When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
All right, good evening. It's another one-run loss for the boys in blue, but we're down to just one game remaining. So much to discuss after this one. At least I feel as if there's so much to discuss. I hope you're interested. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. That's the text line number. I want your thoughts not only on the game, the 2-1 loss here in game number 161 on the season. Not only your thoughts on the game, but your thoughts on the playoffs beginning on Tuesday. More than likely for the Royals beginning Tuesday in Houston. We could talk about this offense, mustering just three hits. We could talk about this bullpen, extending a scoreless streak to 28 consecutive innings until that walk-off blast from Travis d'Arnaud in the ninth inning. We could talk about the season of 2024 or look down the line towards 2025. Again, so much to discuss with the team bound for October. Phone lines, text line, the number is the same. 913-586-7965. I think we need to talk about Vinny Pasquantino. You heard Matt Quatrero just a moment ago asked about Vinny's batting practice performances. He stood in, well, batting practice might not be the best. Live batting practice. Standing in against big leaguers. Standing in against Will Smith. Taking Steven Cruz bridge. Taking him to the chop house in right field, says Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. And I hear J.J. Piccolo on the television broadcast expressing his surprise that the idea of Vinny returning on Tuesday for game one of the wild card series, JJ expressing his surprise that it's even a possibility. So you're saying there's a chance. 913-586-7965. Listen, the Royals need Vinny Pasquantino. Not just this postseason, but on opening day 2025, on game 162 in 2025, for the wild card series or the ALDS in 2025, there's nobody that cares more about the health of Vinny Pasquantino, more so than the Kansas City Royals. So I refuse to believe that they'll put him at risk of further injury. So the fact that the general manager is acknowledging that it's even remotely possible that Vinny Pasquantino could return to this lineup as early as Tuesday in Houston, or I guess still a possibility in Baltimore, that's wild. That gets the hairs on your body standing up, because that makes the possibility of this team going on a miraculous run in October, the addition or the return of a Vinny Pasquantino makes that possibility all that more realistic. Certainly does, in my opinion. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Now, yeah, if it sounds as if I'm resigned to the fact that the Royals will open up this wildcard series in Houston, yeah, you have me pegged. You're right. Tigers lost earlier today to the Chicago White Sox. The opportunity was there today for the Royals to punch their ticket to Baltimore, right? Win this one today, and boy, you're setting yourself up heading into game 162 to control your fate, to control where you're flying to next. But the Royals fall short tonight, and they do so in a disappointing fashion. Tough to be overly disappointed when a team is postseason bound just a year removed from a 106 loss campaign. But the reason why I'm, it was there for you. Yeah, obviously a 2-1 final score, but a missed chance. A missed chance to match up, line up, tie the Detroit Tigers in the wild card standings. Set yourself up, in my opinion, to face a less formidable opponent in the Orioles as opposed to the Astros. So a missed chance tonight as the base running lets you down. Mikel Garcia getting picked off there after a leadoff walk in the seventh. 1-1 game, Mikel, good walk too. Salvi at the dish, and you get picked off. And of course, a few pitches later, Salvi ropes one to left field that certainly would have scored the terrific base runner that is Mikel Garcia. So for a team that's been riding its rotation, its defense, its base running ability, its team speed, to lose a game partially because of a base running mistake, because of a defensive error from, sure, a pitcher, but a defensive mistake nonetheless, as Michael Lorenzen's errant throw in the fourth inning tied this thing up at one apiece. It would remain 1-1 until Sam Long comes back out in the ninth inning for his second inning of work. Strikes out Ramon Laureano, but falls behind Travis d'Arnaud 2-0. Challenges him with 94 in the middle, and d'Arnaud was ready for it. 421 feet to dead center field. Now, of course, the offense is going to receive the lion's share of attention when, look, the offense, statistically, has been the worst in baseball here in the final month of the season. There's no running from that. And tonight, they score one run on three hits. Again, no RBI base hits tonight for the boys in blue. That one run comes in on a double play grounder off of the bat of Dairone Blanco in the third. Now, nice job by Freddie Fermin. And, speaking of Freddie Fermin, man, I'm not harping on the defense tonight. If you want to talk about it, I'm happy to talk about wherever you want to go. But I've said for the past few weeks, once I put my feet up, once the Royals won in the Bronx, 2.5 weeks ago, once I put my feet up and said, man, there's no way I'm going to find myself frustrated again. I'm just going to enjoy the show from here on out. I'm going to enjoy what has been a jaw-dropping season from this organization top to bottom. Now, since I put my feet up, man, my focus has been, yes, just hang on. But the real focus has been about confidence and health. Stay as healthy as possible and try and find these relievers and these hitters and these pitchers. Find them opportunities to stumble upon some confidence. Freddie Fermin has been struggling at the dish. Even though the offense doesn't appear to be pressing like it was just three, four short days ago, Freddie Fermin looked like that virus was still going through him, at least. Right, the offensive funk that seemingly touched everybody but Bobby Witt Jr.? It seems as if that's still within Freddie Fromien. Coming into tonight, right, 0 for his previous 18. Freddie's first at bat, he takes a 1-1. Takes a 1-1 fastball out over the dish. He takes it to right center field on a line drive. Great job going first to third on Garrett Hampson's single that immediately followed. So, yeah, man, and you can dismiss this. You can call me whatever you want, to be quite honest with you, but I'm brushing all negativity aside. Like, from tonight's game, the Sam Long home run, the MJ Melendez 0 for 4 with three punch outs, throwing it all out the window. 0 for 3 from Robbie Grossman with a pair of punch outs. I'm not worried about it at all. There's just nothing negative that I believe deserves my attention right now. And that includes the offense. Obviously, if the offense is a no-show in October, then the Royals will be a no-show as far as the ALDS is concerned. Kauffman Stadium will have no more home games, obviously. But as we've discussed, and yeah, I'm being the optimist. No matter what MJ Melendez does tonight, does tomorrow, no matter what Adam Frazier and Robbie Grossman, Garrett Hampson, Dyrone Blanco, no matter what they do, you're going to have that same concern going into Game 1, likely against Framber Valdez and the Houston Astros. You're going to be concerned about the bullpen, and you're going to be concerned about that offense, no matter what happens. So that's why I'm focusing on the positive. Focusing on where confidence can be found. And I think that swing from Freddie Fromien in the third inning is a spot where confidence could be stumbled upon. Daniel Lynch tonight. Daniel Lynch had as much traffic on the base paths as he's had in his 11 games since returning as a reliever. Two on with one out in the fifth inning, and he gets a 4-3 inning-ending double play as Adam Frazier and really the coaching staff, Jose Aguacil, you know, the analytics, man, they were positioned perfectly tonight defensively. But Frazier and Aguacil, big time tonight. Sixth inning, two on, one out again for Dan.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daniel Lynch, he strikes out Laureano with a changeup away and gets Travis d'Arnaud staring at a changeup to end the threat. Daniel Lynch, now 11 games since returning as a reliever, 20 and two-thirds scoreless innings, 24 strikeouts. Opponents are hitting just a .130 against the lanky lefty. So that's what I take from this game tonight. Sure, it's frustrating or disappointing. You get over it quickly, but yeah, missed chance there. Opportunity to possibly face Baltimore instead of Houston. You don't like when base running and the defense and the offense are at the center of your defeat. But I'm focused on confidence and health, and Freddie Fromien and Daniel Lynch looked healthy and hopefully continue to find confidence tonight. Royals fall in Atlanta 2-1, the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's start off in Independence. Calvin, you're hitting leadoff tonight, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, Brian. I've been hearing you talk about my boy Brady. I hope they don't leave him off that
playoff roster. Yeah, talking about Brady Singer.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves it. I mean, he went through the hard times with this team.
Yep.
And everything else. No, but he's my partner.
I like it. Calvin, I'm with you, man. Listen, I'll say this. Thank you very much for the phone call. I'll say this about Brady Singer. Do we have proof that he would work out of the bullpen. Now, again, this is only the wild card series. A best of three, game one on Tuesday, game two on Wednesday, game three on Thursday. Game three might not even be necessary, right? Cole Reagans goes in there and shoves in game one, and Bobby goes bridge. Seth Lugo shoves in game two, and Salvi goes deep. Boom, no need for a game three. But as you're putting together that bullpen, the question is, can Brady Singer get big swing and miss in a big spot out of the bullpen? How many right-handers, other than Seth Lugo and Lucas Ursegg, how many right-handers would you want in a big spot before Brady Singer? Do you want John Schreiber? Do you want Alec Marsh? Yeah. Who else? Michael Lorenzen. Now, where does Brady Singer stack up on that list? Because he needs to be top three if you want him on that wild card playoff roster. Now, give Brady Singer this. When it comes to making big pitches in big spots, the stats say he's the best in the American League this season. Yeah, when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position, opponents are batting .192 this year against Brady Singer. Number one in the American League. Seth Lugo, who tonight threw two scoreless innings, Seth Lugo's number three on that list, holding opponents to a batting average of .212. Let's go to Tim in KCK. Tim, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, man. I'm going to be the voice of negativity. I'm really glad for the players. I'm thrilled for the players that they're going to make the playoffs. But I see this team get shut out twice, bounced early. They're horrible on the bases. I've told my buddies all year, you've got three good players, one of which is out. You got three really good pitchers. And the rest of this roster is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But I just...
And what about Ursegg? What about Ursegg? Because I'm not going to disagree with anything that you're saying, but you say three good pitchers. I'm guessing you're talking about Lugo, Reagans, and Waka. Can Lucas Ursegg get in that mix?
Absolutely, he can. And I don't think at times he's being. Look, I've been wanting to say this on the three. You tell me I'm wrong. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong. Vinny Pasquantino doesn't get hurt if the manager doesn't bring Ursegg out to start the eighth in that game. Why is Ursegg out there to start the eighth in that game? Were you expecting him to get six outs? Did you really expect him to get six outs? Tell me I'm wrong.
I think that, I'll let you continue. Stay right there if you would, Tim.
No, I
don't believe they were going to ask Ursegg to get six outs, but that spot against Houston, right, that was the middle of the Astros lineup. That was the high leverage spot of the game, so they brought in their high leverage reliever.
Okay. And believe me, I listen to any arguments, I'm really glad. We should be competitive on a regular basis. I think Mr. Sherman has shown that he will spend some money. I think JJ Piccolo should absolutely be executive of the year, but they've got a lot of work to do. Now, prove me wrong. Hey, boys, go out there, play your ball. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, and I'll be thrilled for you, and I'll eat crow. But, all right, Brent, that's all I got for you, buddy. Thanks so much.
Nice to hear from you, Tim. The only thing I'll push back on is they should be competitive every single season. Honestly, no, that's not how this league is set up. Small market teams should not be competitive every season. What they've done in Milwaukee, Cleveland, now, Tampa up until this season is quite impressive. I'm with you on J.J. Piccolo as the executive of the year. With him at the helm and an aggressive owner, an owner that has that competitive spirit, that has that civic pride, I believe they can be competitive every year, but I don't know if I'm going to say that they should be competitive. Now, that's just me nitpicking. I understand your trepidation as far as heightening expectations of how far this team can or will go in October. I get it. Again, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Yusei Kikuchi. Again, you know, we talk about Brady Singer possibly not making the postseason roster. Justin Verlander's not likely going to be on that Astros postseason roster. We'll see if Yordan Alvarez is on that postseason roster. The manager is saying earlier today that they're hopeful that Yordan will begin baseball activities tomorrow. He's dealing with a knee injury. If you're unfamiliar with Yordan Alvarez, he's the best left-handed bat not named Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, with all due respect to Juan Soto, I'll take a healthy Yordan Alvarez over Juan Soto. Tim, thanks for the phone call. Royals fall in Atlanta, 2-1 the final score. Royals now 40-40 on the season on the road. Tonight, their sixth straight loss to the Atlanta Braves. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's head out to the West Coast. Talk with Jason in Washington. Jason, always nice to hear from you, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call, man. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Exciting, exciting time of the year. But can you help me understand the playoff roster? Okay, so we have to go down to 26. So who gets cut? Who doesn't? Like, can you tell me how that works? What are your thoughts?
And, well, I think what they'll end up doing is probably 10 pitchers, 16 position players. Now, we'll see about Vinny. Maybe if there's no Vinny, maybe it's 11 and 15. But J.J. Piccolo, Matt Quatrero have often said it's, you know, for a short series like that, you're going to keep 10, maybe 11 pitchers.
Okay. Now, I know Will Smith hasn't pitched in forever, but wouldn't that be something else if we make it to the World Series and he wins his fourth ring?
Well, even if he's not on the roster, he'll still get a ring. He'll still get that title because I believe the Braves World Series title that he was a part of, he didn't pitch in the postseason. One of them. Braves, Astros, or last year with the Rangers. One of them
Rangers,
he wasn't.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And then one last thing. So if Singer... You mentioned earlier if Singer doesn't make the playoffs, he still gets to hang around in the clubhouse, right? Watch the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you remember Johnny Gomes. Johnny Gomes wasn't really on any of the playoff rosters, but he's bouncing around the dugouts.
Yeah.
They can all be in there.
Right on. Okay, good. Thanks, Vern. And Tuesday, so super excited.
Heck yeah. Yuck, yeah. All right, so yeah, here's how it looks. Thank you very much for the phone call. Tuesday, game one of the wild card series. Right now it lines up Royals in Houston, Reagans v. Valdez. I'm guessing. Maybe it's Hunter Brown in game one. We'll see. But yeah, 26-man roster, and you can change it before the ALDS, and then you can change it again before the ALCS, and then again before the World Series. So the Royals likely going to keep 10 or 11 pitchers. Reagans, Waka, Lugo, Lox, obviously. Urseg, Bubic, Sam Long, to me, Lox. How isn't Daniel Lynch a lock? Right? Okay, so right there, there's 7. So we have 3, maybe 4 spots remaining. Singer, Lorenzen, Marsh, I mean, do you want to put Carlos Hernandez in that mix? Let's not do that. Let's go Singer, Lorenzen, Marsh, Zerpa, Schreiber. Who are your 3? Well, let me just ask you this. Who would be the right-hander you would call on if it's not Lucas Urseg? Singer, Lorenzen, Marsh, Schreiber. Because whoever that is, that guy's on the team. John Schreiber tonight is 9th straight scoreless appearance. In this stretch, he's allowed a grand total of 3 base hits. I think Schreiber's on. Michael Lorenzen, I think he's on. Lorenzen, 7 games with the Royals, an ERA of 1.57, an opponent's batting average of .183. Lorenzen tonight, yes, makes the error that ties the game up in the 4th inning, but 2 innings, not an earned run allowed. three punchouts in his two innings of work. And then 16 position players, 15 position players. Yeah, you can really load up. As you've seen all season, Matt Quatrero is going to use that bench. Going to ride leverage. Ride leverage in the bullpen and trust the numbers when it comes to his bench. Look for those 51-49% advantages and bank that the numbers bear out. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. Royals fall in Atlanta. 2-1, the final score. They're now 17-21 this season. Four games below 500 in games decided by only one run. Again, 17-21 this season. Nonetheless, we're 3 days away from the postseason, and your Kansas City Royals will be there. We'll take a quick timeout, get right back to your phone calls, and head inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Lynch delivers. Albies pokes it back in the middle. Frazier scoops it up, steps on second, throws to first. In time, a double play. Daniel Lynch strands a pair and keeps the earned run streak alive for the Royals bullpen and his scoreless streak alive as well.
20 2/3 scoreless innings for Daniel Lynch. 24 punchouts in that stretch. Big play there, one of two big moments for Adam Frazier as he made the start not only as the leadoff hitter but at second base. Makes a nice backhanded stab on a rocket off of the bat of Jorge Soler with two in scoring position in the first inning. Second and third with two outs, a scoreless game. 108 miles per hour off of the bats of Jorge Soler to the shortstop side of the second base bag. Frazier ranges, makes the backhanded play and a strong throw to Garrett Hampson at first to retire the side. And then that, as you just heard with Jake Eisenberg on the call, a 4-3 inning-ending double play. That kept the game knotted up at one apiece. We would remain at 1-1 until the ninth inning when Travis d'Arnaud walks it off, a solo blast off of the bats or off of the reliever, Sam Long. Long giving up an earned run for just the second time in his last nine games. He has 10 strikeouts in his last 9 1/3 innings of work. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. If you missed it, Detroit lost earlier today. The White Sox tried to help the Royals out as they take care, handle Detroit. What, 4-0 the final score? So if the Royals would have won today, they would have been tied with Detroit and thus set up to head to Baltimore for that wild card series starting up on Tuesday. But because they were walked off, because they were defeated, right now the first round foe appears to be the Houston Astros. Text line is open for you, 913-586-7965. We'll get to the text line coming up in a moment, but first let's head back out to the West Coast. Sandra in Phoenix. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, you might have this might have been touched on, but I was looking online and Aaron Judge and baby Vlad went 0-for-9 today. So possibly Bobby is getting the MLB batting title tomorrow. Maybe.
Certainly looks that way. Yeah, no doubt. Sandre's hitting .332. That leads all of Major League Baseball. Royals have only led Major League Baseball. The Royals have only had a player lead Major League Baseball twice. Willie Wilson in 1982, and then, of course, George Brett. With that .390 mark in 1980. Yeah, so that's something exciting. Excited to see Bobby go out there and hopefully do his best Ted Williams impression and, you know, break off 2-3 knocks tomorrow.
That would be great. And I also wanted to say, I was laughing through your opening there about Vinny, because last night I took a screenshot of Tommy pouring up beer in Vinny's mouth. And it's my screensaver now. It's the subtitle is, "So You're Saying There's a Chance."
Nice.
So when you said that tonight, I died laughing.
Love it. Nice hearing from you, Sandra. Appreciate it. Yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. did not play for the first time all season. He will not play in all 162. He'll be in there tomorrow, playing in his 161st game of the season. And yes, going for the Royals' first batting title in 34 years. Our nightly Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Text line is there for you from the 417. Vern, I'm having too much fun. Go Royals. I hope you can continue having fun on Tuesday. Because if you haven't experienced postseason baseball, there's no way to truly understand that. The best way to describe it is the old cliche, a walk is a rally. You know how excited you get at Kauffman Stadium when the Royals are rallying late? I'm talking like a first inning, two out walk. Feels like a rally, brings you to your feet. You feel as if, oh, we got to capitalize right here. It's tough to enjoy it in the moment, postseason baseball, because your stomach's just in knots the entire time. I've had a chance to experience the postseason in now three different cities. And it's, I don't want to say it's the same everywhere, but the anxiety is the same all across the country. Padres fans, Brewers fans, Tigers fans, everyone is going to be feeling that same nervous energy where you want to throw up, kind of. You want to throw up, you want to crush a few cold ones, you want to high-five your buddies, and you want to be left alone. It's strange. I don't know how to describe it. From the 816, our buddy Charlie writes in, Vern, here's a question that's got to be asked. Should they have played Bobby and tried to improve their position and try to line up against the Baltimore Orioles? I'm going to say no. I'm going to trust this medical staff and this coaching staff when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr. Listen, if Bobby plays today, plays tomorrow, he has Monday to catch his breath, but can you really catch your breath when you're holding it in anticipation for Tuesday? So honestly, today I think is the best chance to give Bobby a true mental break, because there's still a game he can prepare for tomorrow. It's not, I'm sitting here waiting for the playoffs. No, he knows he's going to play tomorrow. We'll see who he pitches against, or stands in the box against, I should say, who the Atlanta Braves throw out there. Last I saw, Brian Snitker was saying, I need to see what happens in the Diamondbacks game, as the Braves and Diamondbacks were, coming into the day, tied for a wild card spot. And still no announcement on who the Royals are going to pitch in tomorrow's season finale. Thanks for listening, Charlie. Appreciate it. 913-586-7965. From the 816, dude, your mom should cut off your Hot Pockets at Xbox game until you get some actual baseball knowledge. He does not believe that a pitcher batting average with runners in scoring position is all that meaningful. Oh, okay. All right, I understand what you're saying now. Okay. So you took umbrage with me mentioning how Brady Singer has fared with runners in scoring position and mentioning how Seth Lugo has. Okay. Yeah, you think it's meaningless. Okay, I'm not going to fight you on it. I mean, I could point out that the eventual National League Cy Young Award winner, the eventual National League Cy Young Award winner runner-up, the American League Cy Young Award winner, are all top 10 in Major League Baseball when it comes to batting average with runners in scoring position. But Tarek Skubal and Chris Sale and Hunter Brown and Zach Wheeler and Shota, okay. Dismiss it all you want, bud. I appreciate you listening. Way to stay locked in to someone you don't respect. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7965. SJ says, Vern facing Framber Valdez fills me with dread. I wish I had your power of positivity. Oh, listen. You know, when they scream play ball down in Houston, I'm guessing they have a little kid do it there too. When that little kid screams play ball, oh, I'm going to have the butterflies. I'll be nervous. I'll have my feet up, yes, but I don't know if I'll have my chest sticking out. I'm hoping to be entertained. That's what I want. I just want good, clean baseball. If you want my honest opinion, yes, I think the Royals can win in the wild card series. I do. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, spin gems. Bobby and Salvi have big games. Boom, you win the series. Of course it's possible. But my hope for October is just play the style of baseball we've seen all season. And if you lose a one-run game because your offense outside of Bobby and Salvi and hopefully Vinny, but you couldn't get that big hit, or one of these unproven arms making their first trip to October, if they falter late, man, I'm not going to hang my head. I just don't want to see a base running mistake. I don't want to see a back-breaking error from a defense that has been elite all season. And what I really don't want to see is Cole Reagans or Seth Lugo fall short of the standard that they've set all summer long. Text line's always there for you, 913-586-7965. Let's go back to the phone calls. Our buddy Justin in Oklahoma City staying dialed in on a Saturday night. Justin, what stood out to you tonight?
What's going on, Vern? First of all, happy Saturday night to you and her, calling from Oklahoma. Well, what stood out for me was obviously Seth Lugo, 3 strikeouts and 2 innings. Dustin Lynch, 3 strikeouts and 2 innings. And Sam Long, 3 strikeouts and 1 inning. So, I mean, we're looking like, a couple days ago, we were like, I'm pretty pumped up about our relief pitching. I'm pumped up about. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, what else are you pumped up about? Let me know.
Okay, so you were talking about, I've told you this scenario a couple years ago, and I always use the reference to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And when the Thunder won, the Thunder went to the playoffs the year before, went to the play-in game, you know, lost the second game in the play-in game.
Okay.
It reminds me a lot of the Royals because I'm looking forward to 2025. So, I mean, this team, I mean, obviously baseball is a little different, a lot of games.
Well, here's what I'll say about 2025. Let me say this. Justin, thanks for the phone call. Here's what I'd say about 2025. The thing that gives me the most hope for 2025, for as much as I want to say it's Cole Reagans and Bobby Witt Jr., Seth Lugo and Salvador Perez, it's the front office. That's what gives me the most hope. Not only about 2025, but 2026 and beyond. What this front office has done, what this organization has done as far as its pitching department and its embrace of modern analytical thinking, that's what gives me hope moving forward. Justin, always nice hearing from you. And as far as being pumped up about this bullpen, listen, I understand why, right? I mean, prior to that home run from Sam Long, Royals had gone 28 consecutive innings without allowing an earned run. I understand being pumped up, but just like I said, if you haven't cheered for a team in the postseason, you can't understand the anxiety you're about to feel starting on Tuesday. Same thing goes with those relievers. Now, what the Royals have going for them is what they've had going for them dating back to April. Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Hunter Renfroe and Adam Frazier, Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. I don't care where you are on this team. The bench, the lineup, the bullpen, the rotation. There's a guy that's been there that has done that. And they've been preparing these guys all season long, filling them with confidence and belief. And here we are. under 72 hours away from watching the Royals return to the postseason for the first time in 9 years. Justin, always nice hearing from you, buddy. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. We'll take our final quick timeout and get right back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Royals dropped the penultimate game of the season, 2-1 the final score in Atlanta as they're walked off on a Travis d'Arnaud 421-foot blast to dead center field off of Sam Long. Diamondbacks lost to the Padres, so the Braves now can clinch a playoff spot tomorrow against the Royals with a win, or they can backdoor their way into October like the Royals did and just cheer for another Arizona defeat. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Again, that's 913-586-7965. You got to hear the call from Bally Sports Braves. Their call of Travis d'Arnaud's home run. And the only reason why I'm playing this or would think of playing this is because the Royals are already in the postseason. So, listen, I don't have an issue allowing Atlanta fans to celebrate. Yeah, it's disappointing that it comes at the expense of the Royals and their chances at the 5 seed and facing Baltimore instead of going down to Houston, but I thought this was a tremendous call.
D'Arnaud hits it out to center field. It's deep, and it's gone! Travis d'Arnaud with the biggest home run of the Braves season, and they walk it off 2-1.
Again, Bally Sports on the call. Terrific call. I don't know who the gentleman is breaking off that call, but congratulations to him, man. You nailed it. 913-586-7965. All right, I want to go to this text line real quick. A lot of text messages coming in, most of them quality, most of them pleasant. From the 913, I'd prefer to play Baltimore, but that doesn't look very likely. Now, does it, Vern? No. Stefan writes in, curious, Vern, do you have any predictions for unlikely hero for the Royals this October? Like, who's this year's Dane Orge or Chris Young? Signed, Stefan. Well, I'm going to side with guys that I would describe as wanting the big moment. So, Freddie Fermin, a guy that, yeah, I opened up the show talking about how, you know, that leadoff knock in the third inning, hopefully the sign of things to come for Freddie. Freddie, I think he wants the moment. You know, MJ Melendez likes the moment, enjoys the moment. He's had plenty of big moments this season, just few and far between. Mikel Garcia, Lucas Ursek, Angel Zerpa's not afraid. He hasn't been afraid since he showed up on the scene a handful of years ago. Now, again, you're talking about unsung guys, so I'm not, you know, Bobby, Salvi, that's not, I can't imagine, that's not what you're looking for. So those would be my top five, Freddie, MJ, Mikel, Ursek, and Zerpa. If I have to identify one, maybe Ursek's too obvious, so I guess that, I can't, let's say MJ, right? MJ can be this October's, what Mike Moustakas was in 2014, MJ's not going to be run out there every single game, right? He probably won't be in the starting lineup on Tuesday if you're going up against Framber Valdez. Or if Valdez goes in game two, yeah, Moose was in the lineup every single game no matter what. MJ's not going to have that benefit. MJ, I was going to say, hasn't earned that benefit, but let's be honest, Mike Moustakas really didn't earn it either with that .211 batting average back in 2014. Back to the text line we go. From the 816, call up Jack Caglione. And he, of course, cites the fact that the Royals called up Brandon Finnegan back in 2014. Yeah, no, you're right. But the Royals' bullpen in 2014 wasn't the worst in baseball. No one was looking at Brandon Finnegan saying, hey, man, we need you. Save us. Now, Jack Caglione comes up to the big leagues for the postseason. Keep in mind, Finnegan didn't show up in game 162 either, right? He was able to get some big league dirt in his cleats before the postseason arrived. But Caglione, man, you show up and... Again, the guy hasn't even performed at AAA, let alone the big leagues. I think that might be... It might be a tad bit too much. Now, you need Salvi to get going. Salvi tonight picked up his 28th double of the season, matching a career high, but it was his first extra base hit in more than 3 weeks. Need that to get cleaned up. Victor in Raytown is hoping that the Royals change their approach at the dish. Victor, man, they are who they are. They're going to make slight adjustments here and there, but 161 games into the season, I think you know who the hitters are. Now we're just sitting back and hoping that they can find a heater, right? Talking about MJ Melendez being an unsung hero. Rally Mantis is turning the page after this one, chalking it up to being hungover. Raj in the Ozarks says it's plumb crazy how icy the bats have turned. Vern, what lineup would you go with come the postseason? Well, again, against Framber Valdez, I'm guessing. Now, whether that's game one or game two, maybe they go Hunter Brown. I don't know exactly how things line up for the Astros. But facing a lefty in Valdez, I'd say Pham, Bobby, Salvi. I mean, is Vinny playing? Because if Vinny's playing, I want him in there. Maybe I'll put him in the cleanup spot. Yuli Gurriel, Hunter Renfroe, Michael Massey, Michael Garcia at third, and Kyle Isbell in center field. That's how I'd do it. From the 816, Vern, who gets sent out if Vinny comes back? I don't think anybody really gets sent out. Again, you're not going to need 13 pitchers. 10, maybe 11. So that allows you to have 15 or 16 position players. Now, you're not going to have to part with anybody that you're going to miss. Scott in Phoenix says, Vern, our pitching better match or exceed Houston's if we have any hopes in advancing. Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't expect this Royals offense to outslug the Astros. Now, before I would say, well, no. Certainly the defense needs to be better than Houston's. The base running needs to be better than Houston's. And yeah, I can't fight it. You know, Lugo would need to out-pitch Brown. Reagans will need to likely out-pitch Reagans, or however it matches up come Tuesday's Game 1 of the Wild Card Series. But before Game 1, we have one game to go. Game 162 of the season. It's, well, we don't know who's pitching just yet. Now, do we? What we do know is it's a 2:20 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 1 o'clock. The game's going to be on our sister station, The Fan AM 610. On Deck Show at 1 o'clock. The post-game show, it's all, including the game, over on The Fan AM 610. Because, of course, Chiefs, Chargers, right here on your new home for everything Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. James Howell, great job back there, buddy. Really appreciate the help. Kansas City, I appreciate you listening. Man, I had a lot of Seth Lugo statistics I didn't even get to mention. Seth Lugo, I apologize, buddy. Great season, though. Pleasure watching you. Take care. Good night.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field. His second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.